This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
This episode of Best of the Rest is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with over 200,000 titles to choose from. Go to nerdylegion.com/audible, sign up for a trial membership, and receive 2 free audiobooks. That's audible.com.
So what's the topic for tonight?
Well, this is Wednesday as we're recording this. New Comic Book Day, of course.
Yeah, I love New Comic Book Day now. I'm back home. I can go to my LCS on the day of New Comic Day, so that new comic smell hasn't worn off.
Right. I haven't been picked over. But I'm always interested in people's buying habits.
Ooh.
When I'm there, usually I will watch. I'll pick out one person oftentimes. And just watch what they buy. Just kind of curious to see what they're doing. Today there's this guy in there, and he's over at the new comic, wall where they put all the new books. And he literally goes through and he picked up every single Marvel book they had, literally every Marvel book that came out. And he got about also probably 80% of the DC books that were out.
Mm-hmm.
This guy obviously didn't have a pull.
I was about to say, he doesn't have a pull is for that, so he can get the discount or the free bags and board.
I don't know if it could be this guy was coming in this first time he'd been to this shop, or I don't know.
I don't know. I don't go into a new shop and buy everything, especially new stuff.
I wouldn't either, but I guess some people don't want a pull.
I guess, but how do you know what's going to sell out or not?
Well, that's the thing. That's the trade-off.
It's like today. Okay, so it's New Comic Book Day. We're in June. So, I get feeds from speculator sites and all that just because I find it interesting and everything like that, and I'll pick up a few of them. But today, is the first issue of the new Thor book from Marvel.
Right.
And apparently in the last pages of that, Marvel's been on this kick lately where they've mashed together characters. It's like you've got the Cosmic Ghost Rider, you got War Machine and Punisher, and there's another one. I can't think of what it is right now. But you had Green Goblin and Carnage. That's the latest one. But today's in the new Thor book, they've smashed together Wolverine and Phoenix.
Hmm.
So it's like when that gets out there, you're gonna have people that's gonna go out and buy like 5 or 6 copies of that issue because they think they can go and they can get it on eBay and sell it for $20-$25. And so if you don't have it on a pull list, you risk missing a book if that's something you were really wanting to get. Oh yeah, but I guess your point is he got all the DC and the Marvel, but did he get anything else?
No, that was it. I mean, he got all this big stack of books. I'm talking probably, with all the Marvel and DC, probably 20-25 books. He didn't even glance that I could tell at any of the indie books. Didn't pick any of them up. Didn't even look. I mean, they were just him. They weren't even on the shelf.
Okay. How was the presentation? How are books presented in this LCS?
On the new comic book day, there are shelves on the walls. They're just basically flat racks at a little bit of an angle or up against the wall. Mm-hmm. And the books are, he puts them in alphabetical order by title.
Okay, so independents are mixed with Marvel or mixed with DC.
They're all one together. That's how he puts them on his story. He doesn't separate. The LCS I used to go to, they would have separate racks. They had Marvel, DC, and independent. But this guy, he puts them, it's all together. It's just all alphabetical based on title. So there's no way that you could scan really. If you're looking for a Marvel book and you're looking for a logo, there's no way you could scan across without seeing these indie books.
Yeah, I know my current LCS, my local LCS that I frequent, all the Marvel, so they have it a rack, and they have all the Marvel and DC in the top, like the top four or five, and everything else goes on the bottom. So your eye level with the big two, everything else is lower. But I have been in shops where it's all alphabetical, and I've been in shops where you have a DC section, you have a Marvel section, you have an Image section, then you have an everybody else section.
You know, not this shop. This guy is really, I mean, he gets pretty much, I don't say everything, but he gets a lot of stuff, and he's very independent comic friendly. He gets all things a lot of shops won't.
Well, see, that's kind of nice. Like my shop, he doesn't really get a lot of the stuff beyond the big two, Dark Horse or Image, unless, you know, he's heard something about it or he's got people requesting it. So you never see anything on there from like Vault or who are some of the others. Maybe if he does that with Aftershock, he might have a few Aftershock up there. You never see Amigo or Scout or any of that stuff. He'll order it for you if you order it, but he's not going to have it and put it on the shelf.
Yeah, that's like, you know, the comic shop in Tyler where we'll be moving sometime later this year. It's the same way. He has Marvel, DC, and he has Valiant. Apparently, he's a Valiant fan. Other than that, there's not one independent any book that he buys on speculation. I'm sure he orders it for anybody on their pull list, but there's nothing in that store that you're gonna find. And he's got a lot of back issues, and they're probably 95% of those are Marvel and DC.
Yeah, what I find amazing is that I figured my shop would have a lot of Lion Forge, since I practically live, and my LCS I live about a mile from my LCS, mile and a half, and both of us are within 5 miles of Lion Forge Studios.
Right.
But he doesn't really have any Lion's Forge on his wall, except if you order it yourself.
I understand why shop owners do that, because that ties back to this guy. You know, he didn't even look at any indie books. And Nick, the question I was thinking was like, you know, why? I can understand people can read whatever they want to read. But for me, I can look around and I can see something and the cover artwork is interesting to me and I'll pick it up and look at it. Doesn't make it tinker's damn what publisher it is if it looks interesting. But, you know, some people, this guy especially, none of that seemed interesting to him. And,
well, is it because, you know, he wants something that has a lot of backstory that he's been following and all that? Can I ask what age bracket you would have put him in? Was he older?
At least 30, 35, I would put him. Maybe a little older than that.
Okay, so let's think about it. So if he's about 30, 35, let's say he started reading comics when he was 8 or 10. So let's say that was, 25 years ago, and 25 years ago would have been the early 90s.
There wasn't much in the independents other than Image was starting up.
Of course, there's not much Image left over from the early 90s except for like Spawn and Savage Dragon and a few of those, and I don't really think any of that hit today.
No. I just find it curious. You know, people, if they've started as a kid, back when, before all that stuff, there was only Marvel and DC, that may be all that you want. How are indie comics ever going to make more of an inroad?
Well, what would you say would be the genre of the big two?
Well, it's by far superhero stuff.
Capes and cowls. Okay. So let me ask this then. So, well, honestly, so I was about to say, well, did he get any Vertigo or did he get any of the other, imprints of Marvel or DC, but I don't think there's much of either.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of Vertigo I know out right now. They're in the middle of restructuring or something.
Yeah. And I don't think Marvel has anything like that. So that's not a good indicator either. But, you know, it could be that his, like, independence. I mean, how many independent capes and cowls can do you know of? I mean, there were some with Image, but I think a bunch of those are winding down. Like, wasn't that was Invincible? It's kind of winding down, and the stuff you're getting from Image now, it's not, you know, a lot of it's, you know, more science fiction, fantasy. I can't really, you know, off the top of my head, think of a Capes and Cowl. They're more like science heroes, or, you know, like they used to call them back in, remember back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, you know, you had your Western comics and then you had your space comics and your science heroes, the ones that got their powers through their intellect.
Yeah.
As opposed to all the stuff you kind of see nowadays.
I don't know. I can think of four, if you want to call it Capes and Cowls or heroes, I can think of four independent Capes and Cowl universes right off the top of my head.
Well, I know you got Catalyst Prime now. That's what? Is it a year old now? Might be a year and a half old. Because it started last year on Free Comic Book Day?
I think so. It did, yeah. 2017 Free Comic Book Day. So you got Catalyst Prime. You've got Valiant, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
would you call Valiant, though, Capes and Cowls?
Why not? Why would you not call it that way?
Okay, so who in Valiant really wears a mask? Other than maybe...
Ninjak.
You could say it. Well, he's a ninja. All ninjas wear masks.
You don't necessarily have to... Superman doesn't wear a mask, so...
He's got glasses.
He doesn't wear them when he's Superman, so... Wonder Woman doesn't have a mask, so a mask doesn't... That's not a valid criteria. So... Yeah, Valiant is absolutely Capes and Cowls superhero. So you got Catalyst Prime, you got Valiant, you've got the Black Hammer universe, which is getting bigger and bigger.
Oh yeah, I think there was an article out somebody posted today about. I didn't get to read it, so I'm gonna have to go track it back down and read it. So it sounds like it's intentional of Lemire to be building that universe there in Dark Horse. And you know what I would be interested in is did he have plans like that all along, or has this been organic?
I don't know.
Yeah. And then he's doing isn't he doing some DC stuff?
Yeah, the Terrifics.
Oh yeah, that's right. I am reading that.
So, and the fourth one, and this is obscure and a lot of people think it's a joke, but the Fantagraphics line, All Time Comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's superhero, but it's really tongue-in-cheek. It's almost like a parody of the superhero stuff. It's funny as hell, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. They're not putting books out as regularly as I would like, but they've got six out, I think, now. So there's, you know, that's four Cape and Cowl independent. So is that your point, what you're trying to say, is that he likes Capes and Cowls and not the...
Well, I don't know if that's my point, but, you know, we're just trying to, unless you sit there and you ask him specifically, you know, so why would somebody just kind of, you know, if apparently he's got the disposable income.
Yeah. Because like I said, he walked out of there with 20 to 25 books and maybe more. I couldn't tell.
So I know your indie stuff started with like Love and Rockets and all that.
Right.
But I mean, but was that the only one at the time for you, or did that cause you to expand out and to try other stuff?
It sent me looking for some of the other stuff. Of course, that was back in the 80s, and that was when it was still a lot of it was underground. You couldn't hardly find much in that way. It kind of sent me back to looking for some of the old, true underground comics, you know, Zap comics by Robert Crumb and some of those others. But, you know, no, there wasn't a lot other than Love and Rockets in the 80s that piqued my interest. And then, of course, Image started coming along in the early 90s. And I didn't get that much. I didn't get into the Image that much. And then they started having problems right off the bat because they had no control. So nothing shipping for months at a time.
Yes, I remember those days. You get the first two couple of issues, and then it would just be gaps and gaps and gaps. Oh, wait a second. That sounds like Black Mask.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I can understand from that perspective. If somebody, that's what they read as a kid, that they've never but still, curiosity just would drive me, I think, to look at something else. But
well, I guess the thing is, habits are hard to break. And there's some time, and we all got those titles, which we keep reading and reading because we've always gotten it, whether or not we care for it or not.
That's true. Well, I'm the same way. I mean, like, I've been reading Batman since I was 11, and I will always read Batman, no matter whether it's good or bad. And it's had some not very good runs. The current one is very good, by the way.
Well, I know I've kept up with all the X-Men, even all through the, they kept doing Uncanny for 3 or 4 volumes and all the other stuff. And I've kept up with it through the good and the bad. So, you know, I think we're all like that. No, I don't have 25 books that I'm like committed to in that way.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. So does this all go back then to the, maybe he buys all that stuff off the shelf, but he gets the independence digitally. Because you can't see his buying, you can't see his digital buying habits.
I don't know.
Do you not look like a digital kind of guy?
Probably not. I mean, anybody's going to come in and buy a stack of books, and I'm assuming he does this every week. I'm not sure the logic of would say, well, I'm going to buy my DC and Marvel hard and floppies, but I'm going to get all my independent stuff digital. I can't see. It doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not.
I see a lot of stuff every day that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, yeah. You can't go through life that way. So, I don't know. That was just one thing I saw today. And I thought, well, that's curious.
Well, I know you asked the group something about it earlier. Did you get any thoughts or responses? Well,
I didn't really ask. I just, you know, put it out there so that, you know.
Well, you know, there's some people that will always make a comment.
Oh, well, Martin's made the comment. Well, that's, you know, how it is pretty much for everybody. And it is. I mean, you go look at the, you know, Diamond's sales list of what's selling, you know, the top sellers. You have to go pretty damn deep on that thing before you hit an independent comic.
Well, I mean, is that also mind share? Is it one of those things that some characters and stuff has been around for so long that it's just, you know, it's just part of social conscious? Like, you don't have to explain to a kid who Superman is, or Batman, or Spider-Man. I mean, you just know who they are. It's pop culture. So, I don't know if that's got an effect on it or anything. Because, I mean, hasn't DC come out with some new, you know, new age of heroes and some new characters and new titles? I mean, how successful is that going to be? I don't think they're going to be that very successful. Because it's very hard to introduce new characters as new titles nowadays, even with the big two.
That's true. I mean, in DC's also, they tried the Young Animal line, and I think it's had some moderate success, but.
Which ones were the new characters in there? Mother Panic, but then everybody else was kind of new takes on old characters?
Well, Mother Panic and this new one that Mags Visaggio wrote, Eternity Girl, was new.
Was it, or was Eternity Girl based on something earlier, like an Eternity Boy or Eternity Man or something?
She was based on a character, earlier character, but she was still a new creation.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess, you know, well, here's part of the question, all that. How new is anything? I mean, you got all the independents, they're trying to do new stuff, different stuff, but isn't everything to some version or a different trope on something that's been done before?
Well, yeah, you can make that comment. I mean, there's really no new stories, especially, you know, some things. It's like, okay, you've got the good guy, you've got some evil guy comes in, and then you fight him until you win.
Well, I think a big...
The next evil guy comes along, and then, or woman, or somebody. So... Yeah, I mean, every story has been pretty much told in one form or another, but that doesn't make it less interesting.
Well, true. I guess that's why I know I'm finding, and that's why I kind of find repetitive with the big two, and why I'm kind of like more in my indie mode now, is because now you're getting science fiction, fantasy, crime noir, and sure, there's some tropes in it, but I guess maybe it's different lenses on the stuff, or the thing with the science fiction, though, is there's always something new and unusual that crops up every year, or something big, and it's, you know, that's new technology and new scientific discoveries do allow for maybe more variation in stories and everything. Hence why I'm really liking everything from Vault, because Vault's what is, I think all their books are, you know, science fiction. That's what they're doing. And a lot of the stuff that I'm reading in Image is science fiction.
That's, you know, again, it's based on your tastes.
So, but, and it's taste, and, you know, maybe that's if independents are getting that science fiction flavor and you're not really into science fiction, then I guess maybe there might not be anything there to interest you.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot more than science fiction in independent comics. There's,
well, no, I agree.
I don't know. Something, I guess you could say post-apocalyptic science fiction. I think you can make an argument that it's not necessarily science fiction, but.
Well, I consider post-apocalyptic science fiction. But there's only so many ways you can do that.
Well, that's true. Yeah, there was a new book out today from Scout, Zenobar.
Oh, I think I saw that. It's got a dragon on the cover or something like it.
Post-apocalyptic world occupied by dragons. And I said, I'm out.
Right. The dragons or the post-apocalyptic?
Both, really. I'm not that much into either. So, it's just post-apocalyptic is getting to the point of being so overdone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like some people.
Well, it's the times we live in.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I just have such a varied taste. I could not read just Cape and Cowl stuff all the time. I couldn't read just science fiction. You know, I'm a big fan of the stuff that Martin and Aaron hate that they call slice of life, which I hate that term. I detest that term. I won't use it except right then, so. So I, you know,
no, I think we say it at least once per episode.
I know, but I just, it's, I hate it. It's non-descriptive. It's just.
Well, I mean, it's non-descriptive. You say slice of life, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
See,
I don't. I think that's just, no. Slice of life.
It's like, you know, it's like family drama or not really, family, not really drama. Family drama. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, it's just a story about everyday life, and there's nothing unusual. You're just looking at the relationships between people, or life.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll reevaluate, but I still don't like that.
It's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
That is true. I saw an interesting meme today. It's two women sitting there reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah,
and the caption says, you know, women are too classy to watch porn, but they'll read the hell out of it.
I think that is an accurate statement.
So, I don't know. That was that one topic. I think we've exhausted that. So, what else?
I'm trying to think. So, I was going through the previews last night, and I want to think. I think there was something that popped up that it was really interesting. And I can't think of what it is right now, but I don't know. What's the best thing you've read lately? That's not Jazz Maynard.
Gosh. I think what I'm enjoying most is, I'm really enjoying Analog. We kind of talked about it on the last episode.
Yeah. Did you see where Titan's coming out with a new volume of The Girl Who?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes. I didn't know it until I was going through previews last night. So I think we're going beyond the trilogy.
That'll be good.
Let me see. I'm flipping through right now. Here we are, Titan. So I got to get past all this. There's the Doctor Who stuff. The Girl Who Danced with Death. Comes out August 15th. It's the sequel to the novel trilogy. This brand new series continuing Titan's best-selling Millennium graphic novel saga. So I don't know. And oh, that's so apparently, I guess this is based on The Girl in the Spider's Web, an all-new millennium film starring Claire Foy. The Crown hits theaters in November of 2018. So why are they calling it The Girl Who Danced with Death if the name of the film is The Girl in the Spider's Web?
I don't know.
Unless they're going to use the, they're going to, you know, because these are the 599 issues. And I didn't know, it's like each volume was two issues. Now it was 64 pages for 599. So maybe the entire film is going to be six issues spread amongst three volumes. So yeah, but so we were kind of missing our hard case crime. Well, we're getting that hard case crime. And I think Mickey Spillane will also be going on from Titan. So
yeah, it's what is it called? I can't think of the name of it.
Mike Hammer.
Going back to The Girl Who Danced with Death, that comic on the previous page looks pretty interesting too.
Nice. The
Prague Coup.
Oh, that's a hard case crime. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Arthur Graham Greene finds himself in the midst of an intricate plot to unseat the Czech government.
Oh, it's based on the story behind Orson Welles' The Third Man.
That's going to be cool.
Okay, so I missed that hard case crime. So that's some good stuff there. I like that. I'm trying to think if there was anything. I see the Prisoner trade paperbacks coming out that same time. So I finally read issue 2 last week, so...
I would say that may be the thing I'm enjoying most right now. Other than, for as far as independent, I'm really enjoying Batman and Detective Comics right now.
Yeah, but I mean, the Titan stuff, I'm really, I wish they would put out some more stuff, you know, other than the Doctor Who. Well, I see there's something there called The Raid, but, I mean, they're a British, correct?
Yes, right.
Publisher. Well, they're in England, but are they British?
I believe they're British. As far as I know, they are.
Well, I mean,
it stands to reason that they're British writers. Well, I think they have a lot of
artists.
Well, not necessarily, because this Girl Who Danced with, you know, this is based on the Stieg Larsson, who wrote these novels, and he's Swedish, or however they're Swedish or Finnish, wherever.
One of those Scandinavian country-like things.
But being a British company, it stands to reason that they're going to do a truckload of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could find more in IDW to like. Are you still doing the Black Crown stuff?
Yeah, so far. And I don't know. I'm really... Because I'm really... I was hoping pulling for this because it's different and... Editor of the series used to be the editor at Vertigo, and when they sorted to do this restructure, they ran her off, which I thought was kind of chicken shit thing to do.
Yeah, I think the thing about IDW is they sit there and they do a bunch of licenses, and I don't know. Can you get into licensed properties? Or do you feel like they never live up to my expectations, I guess. Like Dark Horse and the Aliens and the Predator stuff. None of their Alien comics or Predator comics has ever lived up to the movies to me, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I can get some of that. It's like, well, for me, we were talking about Doctor Who. I am a huge Doctor Who fan. You know, maniacal on it. And yet, I have tried to read those Doctor Who comics from Titan, and they just don't resonate with me.
I mean, is there some stuff that just doesn't translate to comics?
Probably so, at least for me. And it's not that the books are bad. It's not that they're badly written. It's not that the artwork is bad. It just, they just don't, you know, and Ronnie and I talked about this once. They just don't
capture it. They don't capture the feeling.
Yeah, it's not the same for some reason. And so, yeah, I could see that was probably translate and why other things could be that way. Like the Predator.
Hey, there's something you might like. On page 166, the Batman the Animated Series Gotham Under Siege tabletop game.
Luckily, I had my previews to hand here. Interesting. Like, yeah.
Spending more money. I wonder if the...
$50.
Yeah, but it might be... You might get like 25% off or ordering it from Cowabunga.
That's true. But they don't have anybody around here to play it with.
Oh, you play it with yourself and you get some split personalities.
So I wonder if you could play this remotely, because I bet you Martin would enjoy this.
What? Well, I thought y'all were doing some animated series stuff, but then it kind of petered off.
Well, now he's doing Comic Talk Today, which is taking all of his time. Well, not all, but most of it, so.
What, you mean like every day?
Yeah, or close to it, seems like.
Ha!
So.
There you go. So, I am excited about Matt Kent's Black Badge number one coming out from Boom in August. It might be the only Boom thing. Well, I think, wait a second, there was something else from Boom I'm getting. I was getting that, and, well, I don't know, maybe that was it. It's just Black Badge. But, you know, there's more stuff I want to kind of get from Boom. And the Dark Crystal. They're doing a new series of Dark Crystal with that. And that's just me being nostalgic for stuff from my youth.
Now, I am looking forward to Batman 66 meets Archie.
There you go. Hey, so, I mean, get back to your original question. So you think your individual that just bought all the Big Two stuff actually gets a previews and actually knows what he's going to buy before he goes in? Or do you think he comes in, he just looks at all the new, freshly minted comics on the racks and just picks what he wants then?
I don't know. I can't imagine that. If I were to try to guess on how many comic book readers actually buy previews or look at previews, I'd say it's pretty low.
Hey, do you actually buy your previews?
No.
Or is it given to you by your LCS?
It's been given to me by my LCS.
Well, I mean, there's that too. But I wonder if there might be an issue, because now that DC and Marvel is actually separated from the main previews book.
I don't know.
You think that might have an effect on stuff?
Speaking of which, something a different, go down another rabbit hole. You know, Previews now has an app where you can read previews on your phone or tablet. Because they print a digital code in, it's on the short form, the short order form. If you go to that, there's a digital code. You can download the app. Don't do it. The app sucks. Yeah, it crashes. It took like an hour to download it.
Do companies just not like test their UX?
I don't know.
Or their UI to the latest. Hey, this is a good idea. This is what I like, so everybody else is going to like it. And then they release it.
Well, see, I don't know. You know, is this somebody, is Diamond actually put this out, or do they contract it to somebody, or?
Well, is this in anticipation of them doing their own pull list? Aren't they supposed to be setting up like a pull service or a pull list service?
Something along that line. But when I asked my LCS owner about it, he said, because he was at the Comics Pro gathering back a few months ago. And, you know, Diamond presented this is what we're going to do. And then everybody started asking questions. And the answer to every question was, that's still in work. It's still in discussion.
Oh, vaporware then.
They don't have anything decided on how they're going to do it. I mean, here we are in, they nested early in the year. So here we are in mid 2018. And there's been nothing else that I've seen about it. So I would be surprised if it comes out before the end of 2019 the way. But they don't know how it's going to work. It would be nice if, you know, you could do that. If you could go out to Diamond and do your pull list, and it would go to send it directly to the shop. Because that is the one thing about a pull list that I wish I had. And I think some comic shops may have it. You can't go in and edit it yourself. I would like to be able to go in and take stuff out and put it in myself without having to get them to do it. But
well, I mean, how does your pull list? Now, I've been several places where pull list works different ways. I've had shops where you just list the titles and they just pull it for you. And then I've had others where, like my current one, where you fill out previews. And if you're getting something and you just happen to miss it, well, you missed it that month. See,
I never have been in a shop that had a pull list that worked like yours does.
You just list the titles you want and like, give me Batman. Give me this.
the guy that owns my shop, he's really good, and he will anticipate things. Like, he noticed I had Black Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had to ask for all those, like Dr. Star, and also he automatically puts it on there because he assumes, you got Black Hammer, I feel you're going to want this.
I don't know. It's like headwinds against independent comics, because, like, so now you get a previews, but DC and Marvel, and they're all separate from it. So what happens if you just, you know, I don't need the preview. Give me the order form, the DC and the Marvel inserts, and I'm good with that. You it's set up so you can never see anything but DC and Marvel.
Well, yeah, but you can't just get them separately, I don't think. At least not yet.
Well, they can hand it to you, and you can just throw the thick book into the trash and just go through the Marvel and the DC part.
True. But again, I would be shocked if even 10% of comic book readers get previews. Think of it. Do you know anybody in our Discord group, you know, in the Nerdy Legion, that gets previews besides you and I? I don't think there's one. I don't think there's a single person.
You know, you could be correct now that I think about it.
We're going to have to do a poll on Discord.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a poll. We'll have to do a petition so we can do a poll.
I know Ronnie doesn't get it. I know Aaron doesn't.
But so what do they do? Just show up at their shop and whatever's there is what they decide on? How do you get your comic news without previews?
Wow, that's a good question.
Because it used to be ads in the comics. And some of them might have a full page ad towards the back for one book or another book coming out, but.
Yeah, well, and even though a lot of readers buy it, previews was original. I mean, it's primarily for the publisher, for comic book shop owners to look at, mm-hmm. to get their ideas of what they want to order.
Yeah.
It's, readers can buy it, but it's kind of a secondary target audience.
Yeah. Oh, here's a tangent for you. Look at page 327.
All right. I'm making a note.
And all the listeners can turn their previews to 327.
Yes.
I'm going to let you look at it first before I announce what it is, because it's interesting, and I might spend $50 on that. I'd have to look and see if there's a discount. Well, okay. You see over there it says key selling points?
Right.
Look at the third bullet.
Oh, Tower of Babel.
Yep. So what we're looking at is the DC's Anatomy of a Metahuman. So basically, you're going to this is a book where you can infiltrate the Batcave and read Batman's never-before-seen journal entries with DC Comics' Anatomy of a Metahuman. And it's supposed to be a callback to the JLA storyline Tower of Babel, which is an awesome storyline.
Yes. If you haven't read it, that's the way... Where Batman had to try to figure out how...
Well, Roz infiltrated the Bat Computer and got Batman's plans for taking down the rest of the Justice League.
Because Batman always has to have a plan to stop everybody.
And you know what? And that ever since that storyline, there's always a thread of that through every successive volume of Justice League up until now. I think it was actually mentioned... You know, several months ago in the current volume of Justice League. And it's always when somebody wants to, you know, give up the tension between Batman and the rest of the Justice League, they always bring up that Batman has these contingency plans. They take out the other members of the league. And it all comes back to that original storyline. But this is almost like, looks like a Grey's Anatomy book of metahumans.
That's what it looks like. It is. It's a anatomy book of how. Okay, this is for people who are really, really into the minutia of things.
Yeah, and it's a 9.25 by 12.75 inch format.
I'll be interested to see what Cowabunga lists this for. I don't know if I would pay this price for it, but.
What, $50? That's actually cheap.
I just don't know that I would use it.
What?
I can't see myself reading a comic book and something happens in the story and I'm like, okay, I've got to go check my, I gotta go check my Grey's Anatomy here. See how this ties. I don't know. I'm sure it's interesting.
Look, it's got there. It looks like it explains Superman's telescopic microscopic vision. That's what that one page is there, and his X-ray vision. How those work.
So we've now morphed into the not so absolute DC podcast, but that's okay. That's fine.
Oh yeah, but this isn't really a normal DC comic book either. And we're kind of previewing. I mean, this is definitely not a Capes and Cowl book.
No, it is not.
Oh, there's a discount.
Well,
there's a discount. It's larger than 25%.
Oh yeah, on page didn't say the page. 200. It's where they hawk their app, their online app.
Oh, really? I didn't even pay attention to that. I just kind of, it's a previews ad, and I just went on. I don't know if I'm not got the latest iPhone with the big things. I don't know if looking at this on my phone would, like...
I wouldn't look at it on my phone. If you've got a tablet, that's what I was trying to read it on, was my...
So how do you like the new previews since they pulled out the DC and the Marvel, and you got more manga and toys and other stuff in it?
I like the new format. I think it's easier to read. The manga and the toys and stuff, I just ignore, but...
But there might be cool Batman stuff in there, like a Batwing.
I think it's easier to read. I like the way they lay out the actual book more than the website, because it's grouped by publisher, and it's not necessarily on the website.
The only thing I wish in the website, on the book, though, is you could get, like, both covers, or if they got multiple covers, because you can see them.
Oh, there'll be a new Black Crown coming out in August.
Oh, I saw that. Are you not holding out hope for Black Mask? Oh, not Black Mask, Black Crown.
I really wanted them to do well. I really pulled for them, and they're just. And I kind of discussed this with Martin one night. I think they may be trying too hard to be avant-garde, because they're really pushing the envelope, especially things like Kid Lobotomy. That was a strange, weird story.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to get that and read the trade of it. I got like the first three issues, and it was just confusing.
And Assassinations was a little more of a more traditional type storytelling. Punk's Not Dead is getting back into the... It's also maybe one of those that reads better in trade, because each individual issues, it's not moving very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just think that Black Mass is maybe... Or no, Black Crown, excuse me. They may be trying too hard to be hipster and avant-garde and pushing the envelope, and I don't know. I don't think they're, just based on my opinion and my reactions, I'm not enjoying it as much as I had hoped I would. Some titles, you know, Assassinistas was really, I enjoyed that, and it's not out yet, but Euthanauts looks kind of interesting, but it's, I don't know, we'll have to see.
I don't know. Did you set your expectations too high?
I may have done that, yes. Very well. May have done that.
No, that's what you get for setting your expectations high. Oh, you know what's a neat thing? I guess to just jump around again. Have you seen the second print homage covers for the Vault comics?
Oh, yes. I got a couple for the Wasted Space. I got the...
Oh, did you get the Action Comics one and the... What was the other homage?
Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Yeah, and I've got the Swamp Thing 8, I think, homage to Deep Roots that's supposed to be getting to me later this week.
I finally got that today, because the reprint, the second print of issue 1 came out today, along with issue 2.
Oh, so you know the cover I'm talking about for Deep Roots. Isn't it not? It's not quite as good as the original rights and art, but it's pretty iconic.
Yeah, and I've never, hardly ever, I should say, very rarely, I'm not into variants at all. But man, those two for Wasted Space, I had to have that. That Action 1 homage is brilliantly done.
I know. I'm sitting there seriously thinking just getting the second prints of all the... Because I think Vault's going to start doing that with all their second prints.
Right.
And that's a smart move.
It is.
And I might just start getting second prints of all that instead of just getting the first prints. Only problem is you gotta wait a few weeks after the originals come out.
That's true.
So...
Well, you get the first... You get it in digital.
Digital. I can double dip.
Double dip and just get the...
Yeah, but the thing is, you know what? That doesn't show up in previews, though.
Well, that's true. It doesn't. But yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea that they're doing. Because they've got me buying stuff that I normally wouldn't buy.
Just on the cover. You're not even going to read it. You're just going to look at the cover.
No, I don't want to read it.
It's artwork. You're going to put it on the wall, right? Slab it, put it on the wall. And then you're going to nail it onto the wall?
No, I'm hot glue. Just hot glue the bag and board to the wall. So.
Yeah, now, how's the royalties work on a homage cover? It's not original, so I don't guess you owe the original artist anything if you're copying them. You just do the credits like so-and-so after the original artist.
See, this gets into because it's an homage, but they're not identical. Because, you know, like the Waste of Space, let's take the Waste of Space action one. It's not Superman holding the car, it's the fuckbot.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the elements were originally put together, you know, in 1939. Or was it 37? I forget.
37.
So those elements were put together in 37. They don't look exactly like that, but...
I don't know. I don't know that you could copyright a person holding a green car over your head and smashing it into a bowler. I don't know if you can copyright that.
But when you describe it like that, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, you can paint a woman in the same pose as the Mona Lisa, but are you copying the Mona Lisa? She's not wearing the same thing. And...
Yeah, but isn't it like trade dress? Like, for instance, you know, just to get totally off. So there's a filling station near us, and it was not a 7-Eleven, but it had the same primary colors. It had stuff arranged the same way, and there was never anything that really even looked like the 7-Eleven logo. They had something up there. But 7-Eleven came in and sued them, and they had to change everything.
I don't know. I just don't think if it's different characters and they're not exactly the same, but they're doing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I have no idea. So I'm talking completely out of my ass on this.
Well, didn't certain people get sued because the song, you know, the beats on the song were the same as an earlier one?
Well, yeah.
All right. So how's that work with art?
I don't know.
How's it? Isn't it composition? Wait a second. Didn't you have an art background?
I do, but I've not studied enough about what copyright infringement.
Did you skip the course on art law?
Yes, I did.
Art.
Yeah, patents. I was out of town that week.
so let's take what if you took somebody's comic and you changed the characters and the colors and all that, but panel for panel, the composition was the same.
Okay, now then you're in trouble. Yeah.
Well, okay, so if it's you do the whole book, but if you do the cover, it's not?
I don't know. I've got to go research this now, because now you got me curious.
Oh, why? Because, no, did I sow doubt in your mind now?
No, you sowed curiosity.
Oh, okay. At what point are you forging versus just copying? What copying is it? Wow.
We know Michael Morisi. We've interviewed him. I can tweet him or DM him and ask him.
This art thing? Well, at what point is it, you know, you could do the homage covers, and I think everybody's happy with the homage covers, and I think it's usually generally accepted if the artist has something down there and they say after, and they put the original artist's name. I think that's the kind of the tip of the hat or the get out of jail. Hey, I know I stole this from you, but I really liked it, so I'm copying
it. I have done that. I have copied painting. That's how you learn, by copying other artist, but you always signed it after such and such, but then you never tried to sell it. If you try to sell it, then that's when you're potentially getting into problems. But
isn't that what a homage cover is? Is that you're going to get people to buy something not for the contents of the comic, but for the cover, which the composition is somebody else did. So you know it's an iconic cover that somebody else created, and you're just making a facsimile such to sell more of your book. Oh, yeah, I know how plagiarism works in writing.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty clear. Because like you say, it's not the same, but it is the same. You know, every character is different. The background, the colors are not quite other than the green car, but I mean...
But you look at it, and you know exactly where it came from.
Yeah, well, if you've ever seen Action Number One, a lot of people haven't. But I don't think DC is fretting over... That Vault is making gazillions off of this.
Yeah, I think this is more of a philosophical discussion than, you know, anything litigious. Do you think, like, the art in the independent books are comparable now to the big two? Or is the big two kind of, like, you know, pulled up a lot of the artists that make books? Or, I mean, are you seeing comparable art in independent?
My answer is yes, absolutely.
I'd have to agree with that.
But then again, now you're getting into, again, also individual taste. You know, some people love Juan Jose Reap. I don't love him. I'm not saying he's not a good artist. It just doesn't appeal to me. So it's like, you know, how do you decide what's good art? But no, I tell you how to decide.
Reap is good art.
I'm not going to disagree that it's not good art. It just doesn't appeal to me at all.
All right. Well, maybe we've kind of like touched on all our topics tonight we wanted to touch on. We can act like we had a plan. All right. So maybe we'll just call it a night.
You've been listening to Best of the Rest. If you'd like to get in touch with us, I'm at Jay Forgets on Twitter.
I'm at Oot Inger on Twitter. And I've been trying to get on Twitter a little bit more.
I actually saw a tweet that you did, and it shocked the hell out of me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you actually put a tweet out.
I am trying to do some of the newer or some of the social media stuff, but
or you can tweet the show at BOTR Comics.